the dugout and on the sideline, this is Across the Line on Tip FM.
You're very welcome along to another edition of Across the Line with me, Shane Brophy, your Friday evening build-up to the sporting weekend in the Premier County. And on tonight's show, we'll be looking ahead to a huge weekend for the Tipperary senior hurlers and footballers. And we'll be hearing from both camps as well as previewing in depth the All-Ireland senior hurling quarter-final against Galway and the Munster senior football final against Cork. And the first part of the show, we'll be focusing on the All-Ireland senior hurling quarter-final at the Garda Crowns tomorrow, while from 6:30, we'll be looking ahead to that Munster final in Páirc Uí Chaoimh on Sunday. Both games live here on Tip FM. And also a reminder tonight that here on Tip FM from 8:30, the fourth Tipperary GAA Clubs draw of the current season will be coming live from Lorna Park in Thurles. And where just before 9:00, the Tipperary teams for both big championship matches this weekend will be announced. So that's from 8:30 tonight here on Tip FM. So to begin our preview of tomorrow's All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship quarter-final between Tipperary and Galway, we can hear live here on Tip FM at 1:15 in the company of Stephen Gleeson and James Woodlock, and the game will be brought to you by Mulcahy Car Sales, our crony Nina. And first of all, we'll hear from Tipperary captain Seamus Callanan, who I spoke with earlier this week, and I began by asking him about what changed in the second half against Cork last Saturday from where we saw the best of Tipperary in the championship so far.
I think often at times, the conditions obviously were very poor down there, and there was a huge breeze down the field, and often at times that can actually work to your disadvantage as well, because everyone is kind of pushing forward and maybe crowding the forward line, whereas against the breeze then it was kind of people were funneling back maybe, and that sort of, there seems to be a little bit more space up front. But ultimately I think it was, we started using the ball well, and we had a lot of possession in that game, and we had a lot of wides and things like that, but we don't usually hit that many wides, but if we could have got that right, it might have been a different game earlier on. But I think space has opened up just the way the game flows, I suppose, and the way teams play, with just the difference between, I suppose, being with the wind.
From looking at the Leinster final, and I suppose how the game shifted when from TJ Reid being a full forward, and he got little joy when they brought on a different guy in at full forward, and it just changed. So I'm sure not only yourself but the rest of the players, a small thing can change the course of a match very quickly, or a small tactical adjustment.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely can. I suppose there's in a modern game now, most players can play in any position. Yeah. And I think that's the way you have to be. I started off with last week number 14 in my back, but you can play corner forward, wing forward, centre forward. I think I found myself out around wing back there for the finish. But it's just, you have to kind of just, games ebb and flow and they go in different directions. So you kind of have to just play the ball that's in front of you really, and wherever that takes you. But I think most teams, all players are comfortable to be switching and moving into different positions. And I think you need that in the modern game.
There were two players that lit up the club championship, Noel and John, and I suppose the last couple of games probably really haven't flown for them. But you would probably expect, if they're probably the two most committed guys, and as somebody said to me, was watching on for the last 10 minutes on the sideline, not being able to do anything about it, even though you went on to win, they'll be ready to go this Saturday.
Of course they will. Yeah, the two of them are just phenomenal hurlers, the way they can read the game, how smart they are on the ball. They're just the top players in the game, so I have no doubts about any of them, and no doubts about anyone on our panel, that everyone will be ready for the battle and contribute in whatever way they can. What they've given Skip over the last number of years and what they'll continue to give over the next number of years is exceptional, and they're brilliant lads, so they'll be ready to go. There'll be no doubt about that.
I guess you'll be probably coming up against Dottie Bourke, a four-time All-Star fullback. What makes him different to other fullbacks that makes him so consistent?
I suppose he's a very tough competitor. He's very strong. He's one of these defenders that they stick with you all the time. He's not going to get carried away with, trying to hit maybe 20 balls in a game. I hope he doesn't hit 20 balls in a game, but I suppose he's a job to do, and he's a good man marker, and he's a fabulous player, so there won't be much space to be got after him at the weekend. But look, you just have to find a way, if that's you know, if he's, you just have to find a way to get yourself into a game, and that could be just through hard work. And, you know, if you work hard enough, hopefully breaks will come off it. But, you know, Dahi's one of the top players in the game over the last 5-6 years. So he's a seriously tough competitor and a great player. So I'm looking forward to that challenge if I do get a chance to get in on him. So that's just, yeah, I think those challenges are something to look forward to, really.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, I know you mentioned you'd like to get a dry thought or some decent conditions on Saturday, but like, I suppose, on the flip side, Galway have had decent conditions so far, and you never know, maybe bringing them to a soggier pitch like Limerick, even though he had held up pretty well. But, like, different pitches at this time of the year can make a huge difference. Ones that you're comfortable with, ones that you aren't.
Yeah, look, I think so, but I think, to be fair, whatever happens, we've all played kind of winter hurling there, and we know what it's about, really, and the fundamentals of that always remain the same, no matter what pitch you're playing in. And I know, and they've been playing in Cork Park and pitches like that, but it was actually just the overall condition. The pitch itself was brilliant to Limerick there last week, so I don't think it'll make a huge difference. I think both teams, like, we are in the middle of November, so both teams are prepared for the scrap, really, and throughout with this weather and that. So I think both teams will be fully prepared for that. It won't make much difference.
Tipperary captain Seamus Callan speak with me earlier this week, looking ahead to this Saturday's quarter final against Galway. We're time for our first quick break, and we'll be back in part two with an in-depth look at the game in the company of former Tipperary midfielder Shane McGrath, and we're getting the Galway view from Portumna's Johnny Kelly. You're very welcome back to Across the Line, and we're continuing our build up to tomorrow's All Ireland Senior Hurling quarter final between Tipperary and Galway. And I'm joined on the phone line by former Tipperary All Ireland midfielder Shane McGrath and former Bursley and Galway under 21 manager Johnny Kelly. Gentlemen, you're welcome to the show.
Hi, Shane.
Shane, I'll start with you. I don't know, as the week is coming along, I don't know what way to feel about this game. Like, are we going to get more from Tipperary? Are Galway maybe suddenly a little vulnerable after the way things ended last weekend in the Leinster Hurling final? What way do you look at it less than 24 hours out?
Yeah, I suppose going back at the games, especially knockout championship games in Tip and Galway in recent times, Shane, I think form maybe goes out the window, because whatever it is about these two teams when it comes to knockout hurling, they seem to bring the best out of each other. And in regard that it really is do or die. I mean, if we go back to the results in 2010, we got over Galway by a point. Larry scored a point. 2015, Shane Maloney got a point to win it for a point for Galway. 2016, you know, Bubbles got that magic goal and we won it by a point. And in 2017, Joe Canning got that point out by the sideline, and Galway won it by a point. So I think whatever has happened up to this, I think will kind of be irrelevant, because I just think these two teams, when it comes to knockout championship hurling, there's nothing between them. I think there's a few things to be interested in. Very interested to see the Tip team that's selected, which I suppose, you know, to John McGregor taking off his 33 minutes, and, you know, it was great to see Bonner even getting the 53 minutes, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what team starts out and what team finishes for Tip. But I think another important thing is, like, the weather and the pitch. Like, tomorrow is supposed to be, you know, a fairly good day. Tip hasn't got a good day yet to hurl, so I think tomorrow will allow the lads to hurl and even move the ball around a bit better. And, you know, Galway have been, I suppose, relatively lucky weather-wise, and with pitch-wise, they've been in Croke Park. I think the Gaelic Grounds is a completely different type pitch to Croke Park. I mean, we all know the way Croke Park is immaculate. It has got kind of artificial feel to it, but the Gaelic Grounds is more of a, you know, a kind of a pitch. You know, in the summertime it's unbelievable, but I suppose now it's maybe more labeled kind of, you know, maybe club pitches you might see around, in that it is sticky and all that, and can play a bit heavier. And I suppose Tip had the advantage of playing there last week, which Galway mightn't. So I think that will definitely be a factor in it as well. But I think it's going to be a very close game, Shane. I can't see more than puck of the ball being in the game between the two sides. Like,
Johnny, I suppose up Galway after last Saturday, what's the feeling? I suppose, I think it's pretty much accepted, like, that it was a game they had pretty much in control, and that two goal to Kenny Salvo was brought them back into it. But I suppose even at that, Galway came back pretty well. But I suppose to concede the last 4 points, and I suppose only score one of the last six shots at target at goal, like, I suppose it probably creates a little pressure on them tomorrow that they, like, maybe they falter with the line in sight last weekend.
Yeah, indeed, Shane. I suppose the overriding feeling in Galway would be one of more frustration than disappointment. And I suppose it could leave a mental scar. A week is a really short turnaround, so it doesn't. It poses its own difficulties, like both physically and mentally. Where Galway were at is anyone's guess. Like, they played very well against Wexford, like, and handled the Wexford system really well. And then they probably stayed with that sweeper system against Kilkenny, like, and it was very effective for most of that game, I suppose, until Kilkenny, as you rightly said, got those two goals, like, and Kilkenny really got to grips with it for a number of towards the end of the game, like, and it would have hurt Galway, I suppose. But frustration, really, and it depends on how Galway react to that. You could have a good reaction from Galway in that short turnaround, like, they are hurling quite well, like, and they have a very solid defence, like, and a lot of guys that were involved in 2017 that won that All-Ireland, and you know, our seasoned team with some good young fellas coming through, like the goalkeeper and Aina Murphy, and obviously Brian Concannon up front, like. So Galway are in a good position, but it remains to be seen how they handle the mental or the psychological aspect of it for this weekend.
Yeah, were you surprised that they decided to go with a sweeper against Kilkenny? Because, like, Kilkenny played pretty much an orthodox style, like, so that we all knew that Wexford would play a sweeper, so Galway sort of had to plan for that. But against Kilkenny, it sort of made, especially for a Galway team had plenty of hurlers of their own, that why would they deprive themselves of an extra attacker?
Yeah, it worked really well against Wexford, like, and I suppose under Shane O'Neill they have been working with that idea. Like, as I said, it was effective, like, and I wouldn't be against that. But I suppose conditions play a big part in this. Obviously, playing in Croke Park, there are greater spaces to exploit an opposition when you can get good ball inside. Like, but it also hands the opponent the opportunity to build from the back. Like, and I don't know, like, if Galway go with that against Tipperary tomorrow, like, handing Tip that opportunity to, as I said, build from the back, making me the wisest course of action, considering that Tip like to play through the lines and, you know, can really hurt Galway. So it's intriguing to see what way Galway is set up, and likewise also to see how Tipperary handle the conditions and the physical size of Galway. So all to play for, and, you know, it's very hard to call.
Yeah, Shane, I suppose I think Tip would prefer not to see a sweeper. As I know, in the first half against Cork last week, I suppose the position of Mark Coleman gave them very, very few avenues to send direct ball into the full forward line. When the second half against the wind, and like they did play the corners particularly well into Jason and Seamus Callan, and a reap reward.
Yeah, it did, but I think even the second half, Shane, the other day, like in the first half, you know, just the wind and the rain, I just popped out for 10 seconds to pop something in the bin, and you wouldn't want to be standing outside and let alone try and hurling it. But the second half, the wind did die down a little bit, and the rain went, and even Tips, their use of the ball in the second half was much better, because, you know, maybe the weather just allowed them to do it. Like, I mean, it was, they played in basically two monsoon like conditions so far, and as I said, I think tomorrow will be the first day to allow them to try and move the ball better through the line, and I think that's what they did in the second half. Now, Cork, I suppose, with the wind, they did push forward a little bit, and maybe Coleman found himself a little bit more forward, and Tip could get a better ball in. And that was evident in the way Shandy scored 2 points from play. With the ball, it just got a better quality ball in. So I think tomorrow, you know, if Galway do go to sweeper, I think that the boys will have learned an awful lot from the Cork game, and that, you know, we do need to work this ball through the lines, get it to a certain area on the pitch, and then get a quality ball into Shamey or whoever is inside, and, you know, you get Jake working off him, get Jason working off him. I think Limerick are the best at it at the moment in what they do, in just leaving Galani there on his own, and he'll change around with Peter Casey or Graham Mulcahy, but whoever is there on his own, it is a quality ball that's coming in from the outside, and it's got to a certain area of the pitch, and then the guy in the best position will deliver the ball, or else he'll take it on and try and get a score himself. But, you know, I think Tip would learn an awful lot from their second half performance about maybe dealing with a sweeper and getting a quality ball inside, which kind of maybe try and nullify the sweeper in some effect, Shane.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. I think that the ball did come in an awful lot quicker in the second half. I suppose even taken for granted that the conditions had improved in the second half. But I suppose we look at, you mentioned the team selection. I suppose I think the key one would be tonight is whether the two McGraths start again. And we know that they haven't really hit their form this year. And you think, and you particularly look at the impact Willie Connors made, that he really is knocking on the door to get a start tomorrow.
Yeah, but I would Yeah, I would agree with you. And then I would say tomorrow is like, as the last day was, but tomorrow is knockout hurling and you're against Galway. And for me, I feel the tip will go to really experienced guys who have their tried and trusted guys to start the game. I think Willie Connors was massive the last day, and as was Paul Flynn. And three points from play between them, you know, they must be so proud of them and just buzzing down in Killadangan, you know, with the two guys and the impact they made. And I think Tip will start as strong as they possibly can, and by strong I mean the most experienced guys. And I think that John McGrath, who's been taken off after 33 minutes last day, will really have a bit between his teeth to say, I'm a much better hurler than what I was the last day, and he'll have a point to prove. I think Noel has given so much service to Tipperary that maybe asking him to go 70 minutes is a lot now, that maybe you're looking at getting him through to the third quarter of the game, and then that you have the Willie Connors, the Paul Flynn's, the Paddy Cadell's of this world to come on and finish the game. So you have your starters, but you have your finishers as well. And I think that's what Tip got the last day, is massive confidence in their finishers, in their Willie Connors, their Paul Flynn's, Paddy Cadell's, that they'd really trust him now in a knockout championship game to come in and make a difference. I think while Willie was brilliant the last day, and I think it kind of overlooked how good he was, the flick that he got for Jake Morris's goal. Brilliant finish by Jake, but like Willie's flick into his hand in those conditions, in the circumstances, and then to have the, you know, the wherewithal to pop it off to Jake and he scores the goal and finishes the game. But I think Willie would be a massive finisher for Tip. So I think John and Noel will start. That's my personal opinion, and that's what I feel Tip should do. Obviously, you know, the lads inside will know better than me, but I would start as strong as you can, with as much experience as you can, and then have these finishers come in and maybe try and finish the game off for you.
Yeah, I suppose, Johnny, the Tipperary, I suppose, they were reviewing the Galway Kilkenny game last weekend. I suppose how comfortable Dahi Burke looked at full back with TJ Reid in there, but suddenly when a smaller, livelier player, Richie Hogan, went into full forward, I know he wasn't directly on Dahi, but it unnerved that Galway full back line. You'd think maybe if a Jake Morris or even a John McGrath could get a stint in there tomorrow, and Shane McCallan could actually pull Dahi Burke away from the square. I know he's the kind of a full back that Shamey has struggled with over the last couple of years.
Absolutely, I suppose, but as Shane rightly said there, it all depends on how the game develops. If Tip are allowed to build from the back and put that quality ball into forwards that they have, like, I mean, it doesn't matter, you could have three defenders back there, it's all about the quality of the movement inside, and Tip had that in abundance, and we saw that with Richie Hogan as well. But I think what was missed in all of that is the ball that came in from Killian Buckley and other from the Kilkenny players out the field. It's that quality of delivery that really makes that inside movement work, and Tip have that. So the interesting thing is, if Galway step up on Tipperary and force Tip to go along, it's at that stage then the Tip will really need the likes of Dan McCormack, Bonner Maher and Mikey Breen, like, to compete physically with the likes of McInerney and Joseph Cooney, like, are two powerhouses for Galway at the back. Yes, those guys have trouble with smaller, faster players, but who doesn't? And I suppose that it's a battle of wills at that stage to see who comes out on top. I think, yes, Dahi Burke struggles, but I mean, we have to remember that his first game back, and he will have improved greatly from that. Like, and it's a game under his belt. And with Galway, with the type of forwards to have, with Joe Canning and in particular Cathal Mannion, who makes the game look very easy, like, and can really hurt teams from distance, you know, it adds the intrigue. Just on John McGrath being taken off after 33 minutes the last day, that showed the ruthless nature of Tipperary as well. Like, so they were really up for the game the last day against Cork. Like, but Galway are a different animal to Cork. Like, Galway are a big physical team. They'll like that battle. Like, I suppose, ironically, if Tipperary even have the more experience of those battles over the last two games, like, so you would say the advantage is there.
Just in terms of a couple of players you know well, like Joe Canning from your own club in Portumna and Brendan Maher, like, the likelihood is that that Brendan might be detailed to go with him. Like, do you think that we saw Joe in a very, he sort of had a free role, I think, against Kilkenny, but out of you have a guy like Brendan Maher, if you bring Brendan into a sort of a midfield, a sort of even an attacking zone, you could be bringing trouble on yourself this time from a Galway point of view if Brendan is too high up the field, because, like, if he gets on some of that ball, he's going to bring an awful lot of good players into the play.
Absolutely, it's a high risk strategy. Like, if you drop your centre forward very deep, like we've seen that with Limerick in the 2018 in Ireland, where Joe Joe came back very deep, but Hannan really picked up some great ball and actually scored into the bargain. And Brendan has that well within his artillery as well to hurt Galway from that. Likewise, if Brendan decides to sit back like and takes ball as well as any of the other Tipperary defenders, like I say, it could be very effective. And that's if Galway go with five up front. So if Brendan follows Joe out, like which he may do, like that brings Brendan into a scoring zone, but it also leaves a gap at the back. So therein lies a conundrum for everyone that's over a team. How do you get the balance right? And it's often, I don't think Tipperary would like to leave Conor Whelan one-on-one with any defender inside. I don't think anyone would any cornerback would like to see that unfold. So, as I said, quality all over the field on both sides. Like, and I suppose the buzzword for everyone is passion and work rate. Like, but I think really this time of the year, for me, I'd be asking guys just to do the basics right and to get your handling right certainly have work rate and high intensity. So it's one that we're looking forward to, and it's very hard to call, as I said previously.
Yeah, just to wrap up, Shane, what's the feeling in the water this evening? What way do you see it going?
Yeah, as I said, it's very, very hard to call. I think Galway will kick themselves that they didn't win a Leinster final. They had 42 shots on goal and they scored 24 of them. And I just feel they had so many chances. And small thing like Shane, if Joe Canning's sideline goes to Cathal Mannion, they're 5 points up at the time. Cathal Mannion just is gone. Whether they get a point or not, they're still 5 points up. But it doesn't, and Richie Hogan gets the goal. So I think they'll feel it's one they left behind them. I just feel because of the weather and everything tomorrow, I think it'll be the first day that Tip will really be allowed for. I'm not making an excuse because Limerick scored 3-23 the first day, but I just feel as a group, we've seen the last day in the second half especially, they started moving that ball really well. I think they'll have great confidence from the victory. They'll have great confidence in guys coming in off the bench as well, and they've had the experience of playing in the Gaelic grounds. And I just feel that there's a big performance in the guys tomorrow. I think it's going to be super close. With my heart and my head, I'm just going to go with Tipperary by a couple of points.
Yeah, is the heart and the head same with you, Johnny?
Well, yeah, look, I get very hard to call that. Like, I think one thing to note, the last time Galway Tip played in Limerick was a league final in 2017. Like, in Galway,
we don't want to be remembering that.
You don't want to remember that one, indeed, yeah. But, like, Galway have no qualms about playing in Limerick. I know there's a different surface to Croke Park, like, but I don't think that will bother Galway at all. If it becomes a physical battle, I think both teams are in great condition. Like, Galway may have the edge across their half back line in size and strength, but certainly for me it's a toss of a coin. I think the young goalkeeper for Galway, he's inexperienced, but like he's very good and his puck outs are very sharp. I think a lot of it, as we all know, hinges around puck outs. Like, it'd be interesting to see how Tip perform on their puck outs. As I said, if they go along, they'll need to have a strategy about winning that break, because it's not dry, it's not summer hurling, the ball won't be breaking around that much, it'll probably stick that little bit more, so it'll be a war of attrition, and I think Galway will like that. So a hesitant vote in Galway in this occasion.
Yeah, so it's like any game, whichever team can get their game or get their game plan in place first and set the agenda, I suppose will be key to deciding this one. Shane McGrath and Johnny Kelly, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Thanks, Shane.
And that was Shane McGrath and Johnny Kelly. Looking forward to the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Quarter Final, Tipperary against Galway, live from the LIT Gaelic Grounds tomorrow at 1:15, and we'll have live commentary here on Tip FM. Time for a break now, and in the second half of the show we'll be looking at the Munster Senior Football Final. Very welcome back to the show, and we now return our attention to Gaelic football, where on Sunday Tipperary go in search of a first Munster Senior Football Championship in 85 years when they take on Cork at Páirc Uí Chaoimh at 1:30 p.m. a game you can hear live here on Tip FM in the company of Stephen Gleeson, a former Tipperary player and coach Shane Stapleton, with the match brought to you in association with Casey Tiles and Wooden Floors in Care. And we all know what a special weekend it is for Tipperary GAA with the centenary of Bloody Sunday. And speaking with Tipperary manager David Power last week, Tip FM Stephen Gleeson asked him about the honour of playing in such a big game and what is such an historic weekend.
It's huge. We were asked a question Saturday evening, and I put it to the team captain and to our leadership group, and the two words that kept coming back would be it's an honour and it's a privilege for us to be wearing that jersey on the 100th anniversary. It's the very simple thing is it's pride as well, you know, and for us to be playing, like, who would have thought 12 months ago that we'd be playing on a Munster final against Cork on the 100th year anniversary. It's like fate really happening. And I think it's fantastic for both the Tipperary football people and Tip GA public that they're going to be seeing a Tip football team wearing a green and white jersey on the 100th year anniversary in a Munster final v Cork down in Cork. And I think it's brilliant. And I suppose, thank God, Stephen, I suppose the big thing, all the news this week has been very, very positive on Tip football.
And that history is there in Tip football. If you look back at it, Tip did well around 1920, 1935, still going well. But football faded really for maybe 50, 60, 70 years. It's only now it's starting to come back. A bit of glamour this past decade with the minor success in 2011, yes, under 21. And now we're back up there as, you know, in the news for good reason.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I suppose the big thing with the Tipperary back then in 1920, Stephen, they played with a style, they played with a bit of pace, and they were a very offensive team. And I think it's very ironic that's the kind of style that we like playing as well with the Cordon team. So I think we're ticking a lot of boxes, so look, which is great.
This game against Cork, you know Cork well. Like, both teams have played each other a lot recent years. Will we expect more of the same?
I think so. I actually think it'll be a great football final. I think if it's anything like the league match in February, I think we're in for a great game. I think both teams won't fear each other. Cork, we have huge respect for Cork. They beat Kerry there last weekend. You know, and like, Kerry were probably second favourites to win the All-Ireland, so for Cork to beat Kerry is a huge step forward for them. You know, they have some quality players. Davine Maguire, Killian O'Hallan midfield, Luke Connolly, Brian Hurley up in the forwards, and then they've Sean Powter coming forward as well, and then they've a couple of the two, they've their full back and centre back that won the under 20 All-Ireland last year as well. So they've some quality, they've some great players. But look, if we can get a performance, you know, I think we'll be there, we'll be in for a chance.
The whole county will be behind you, and I suppose you'll bring that energy with you as well.
Absolutely. You know, I suppose people are always questioning why the GA got going. It's over the last 2 or 3 weeks I'm noticing that actually people are really, really, they're buzzing because there's something to talk about. You know, and now, you know, over the next 2 weeks, we've actually a point to really look forward to. And I know there's a great buzz, especially in the town of Clonmel where I'm working. There's a lot of people stopping me and they're really excited. And, you know, and I suppose we have to use that energy, we have to use that, I suppose, positivity in the right way as well. We can't get too caught up in the whole emotion of it. So I think if we can use it in the right way, we've got a great chance.
Tipperary manager David Power speaking with Stephen Gleeson last week about, I suppose, the emotion and I suppose the mental preparation involved in playing in such a big game and why such an historic weekend for Tipperary football. And also last week at the online Tipperary media event, as it is nowadays, I spoke with Tipperary captain Conor Sweeney, and I began by asking him, he's been on the football panel about 10 years now, he's played under 4 different managers, and I began by asking him about, is there anything different that David Power has brought to the setup in his first year in charge?
I don't know if they're doing anything overly different. I just think a new voice is great, and I know we hear that a lot, but we're after getting a good kick this year, you know. I mean, a new voice is always good. He brought in a new background team with him, some very experienced guys there, and great variation in the coaches, I must say. So we're lucky we've got some good coaches with Dave. And I was going through to my head the other day, like, every time Tipperary has got a new manager, we've all seemed to get a kick. You know, when Evans came in, we got a kick. When Peter Creedon came in, he drove us on another bit. And obviously, when Liam came in then in 2015, 2016, we got an awful kick. So I think we're just getting another kick from Dave again this year. But every time a manager comes in, he just brings that freshness to the group. I mean, we're probably the training, the drills are good. Like I said, the coaches are good. Paddy Christie, you know, we've got some good coaches in Charity as well, and Joe Hayes. So, like, the training is good. It's really enjoyable. I think that's the one thing I've taken since Davey came in, is training's been really enjoyable. And I think lads are probably getting the most out of themselves.
Yeah, well, what's Paddy Christie bought? Was it a fair coup to get him on board, considering the success he had with Ballymun and then with Dublin underage teams? Like, what sort of mentality has he brought to the group?
He's a big believer in just getting the basics right. I mean, he's a big believer in just basic skills, the hand passing, the kick passing, the tackling. He's good for culture. You know, he brings a lot of experience, like you said, from Ballymun. He's experienced a lot up there on and off the field, so I think he's tried to bring that to the group as well, and I think he's just given a different point of view from where he comes from. But with regards on the field, he's just no-nonsense, kind of similar to the way he played. He, like I said, he just focused on the basics. There's nothing too complex with him, which is what the players like and like about him. And he's just, what you see is what you get, you know what I mean? He's kind of, he's straight. He'll give it to you straight, whether you're going good or you're going bad. And like I said, he just focused on the basics. And I think he's doing a really good job so far. Anyway.
David mentioned after the Limerick game that at half-time when you were 7 down, it wasn't really coach-led, it was player-led, that turnaround. Like, was that the first time you as captain really had to pull the thing, or how did that work? Like, was it something you said, or maybe some of the more experienced lads got the thing turned around?
Yeah, it was a few of us. There's a lot of experienced guys there, you know. If you take a look back down along each line of the field, we've got some great experience. So it was the culmination of factors, but I mean, listen, we're all big boys now at this stage, you know. You don't need to be sitting around waiting for David to come in to give us a team talk. We knew exactly what the problem was, we knew why we weren't playing well, and we just had to address it. But I mean, it's one thing talking about it, but you have to deliver then when you take to the field again. And I thought we did that really well. But there's definitely a core group of players there. They've been around for a long time, you know them yourselves. But those boys stood up at half time, yeah, and we really took leadership. But it was just a case of everyone standing up, really. I think the minute the ball was thrown in for the second half, we were a different side, you know. Just mentally-wise, like, we were just on it. We were putting serious pressure on Donald's kickouts, and we won the middle third, and as a result, we got scores up the other end. So, listen, it was just, we need to take the finger out, and we just needed to maybe tell a few home truths at half-time, and thankfully, we managed to turn it around.
Tipperary captain Conor Sweeney speaking with me last week ahead of our Sunday's Munster senior football final. Time for a quick break, and we'll be back in part four looking ahead to the big game in the company of George Hannigan and former Cork All-Ireland winning attacker Daniel Gooling. You're very welcome back to the final part of Across the Line, and we continue our build-up to Sunday's Munster senior football final between Tipperary and Cork, and I'm joined on the line by former Tipperary midfielder George Hannigan and from the Rebel County by 2010 All-Ireland winning Cork attacker Daniel Goulding. Gentlemen, you're welcome to the show.
Hi,
good to have you along. George, I'll start with you. I'm sure, George, this is probably the first time maybe since you retired you felt the pang of maybe not wishing maybe you'd love to be involved in preparing for a game like this.
Yeah, in fairness, I suppose in 2019 there wasn't much to cheer about from a sports perspective, yeah, definitely there's a lot of momentum building up, and there's great support out there, and everyone looking forward to Sunday. So I guess to a certain extent you would wish to be out there. There's a great sense of occasion attached to the game. So, you know, obviously, them days are gone now anyway. And I'm sure Daniel is the same there. He'd wish to be out there on Sunday as well. But, you know, we wish the lads the best of luck on Sunday, and hopefully we get a good game.
Yeah, so George, you mentioned that sense of occasion. And I suppose that's probably central to I suppose some of what David Power and the boys the management were using the last 2 weeks for that. By tapping into the sense of occasion around the Munster final and also the Bloody Sunday thing, but without taking away from performance, it's all about performing on the day, and from Tipperary point of view, hopefully ending an 85-year wait for a Munster title on Sunday.
I guess it's important to get the balance right. You know, you can't get yourself, or I suppose David can't be relying on the team getting riled up for the occasion. So on, lads have to keep their heads and know their jobs, and obviously they'll bring the passion to the situation as well, but it's also important that everyone's very much aware of their jobs, and and what their role is on the day, and carry out the instructions that the management are asking of them.
Yeah, and I suppose from this Tipperary group's point of view, I would think, and even going back to 2016 when you're the team that you were with got to the semi-final, they never really froze that year. Like any of the big matches that came up, like they got into them pretty quickly. So like, you think that from that point of view, that shouldn't be an issue on Sunday?
Yeah, listen, I was just looking through the team there, and there's lots of guys with lots of experience, and I suppose the one thing that would probably wrangle with lads is our performance in the 2016 final against Kerry. Below and Killarney, we started off well on the day, but I don't think it was a sense of a situation of the team freezing or anything. It was just a case of we didn't put a performance in the day. There was maybe just question marks over lads' fitness and so on, and it kind of came through on the day. But besides that game, you know, there's plenty of experience in the team there, and I know looking at what, I read an interview with Conor Sweeney there during the week, and he did kind of reference that Munster final in 2016 as a disappointment for himself and the team. So I guess he just referenced it in an interview to getting a performance out of the team on Sunday, and you know, letting the result take care of itself after that.
Yeah, I suppose, Daniel, when Tipperary were watching that Munster semi-final 2 weeks ago, like, I think they were always going to come into this final as underdogs, but for Cork now, like, they were very much, they're going from the hunters to the hunted now this weekend, from underdogs to favourites. I suppose, how do you think Ronan and McCarthy and the management would have been dealing with that over the last fortnight?
I suppose the first thing was to come down from the euphoria of beating Kerry. Suppose any team in the country kind of a smash and grab win like that could easily get carried away, but I think they were back to training fairly quickly, and you know, there's a solid group of lads there, and a lot of the older lads won't be long keeping things back on an even keel, because they haven't won anything in the last 5 or 6 years. So I suppose it's great that Cork beat Kerry, but I suppose there's full acknowledgement there that this is another huge game. I suppose if you look at the last 4 or 5 years, Cork and Tipper beating each other, so I'd expect a very close game again on Sunday, and I'm sure that's how the Cork panel are preparing for it.
Yeah, and I suppose even as a small thing, I know I was listening to a podcast, a preview of the game yesterday, like even such a small thing that, like, psychologically Cork could be preparing for a team with blue and gold jerseys first, and on Sunday it's green and white. Even small things like that, if a player or a group of players are not tuned in, even from a Cork point of view, it could be detrimental to the overall performance.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I suppose, and that's Cork now managing, I suppose, the small bit of expectation that's come with them, but also I suppose the fact that when you go into finals, like, they're there to be won, and as George said, if you don't perform and you don't do your job, you're not going to win the game, essentially. And like, the focus and kind of commitment to game planning, commitment to winning the breakthrough in the middle, and the toughness and work rate that Cork showed against Kerry, like, if they don't bring that again on Sunday, they're going to be in big trouble. And I suppose that's the challenge for Cork, is to, can you replicate one performance against a team that you had no chance against, and know you're expected in the eyes of the public maybe tapped upper hand on Tip, and can you repeat that performance? And that's the big challenge for Cork.
Yeah, I think we would probably expect that Cork will bring that same, I suppose, that same level. And I think in terms of Ronan McCarthy, like, he comes across as a very, very impressive guy. But I'm just thinking in terms of, we're probably expecting a change in the game plan. I suppose the game plan that I had the last day, it was set up to contain Kerry in some respects and keep the game nice and tight, whereas Cork will be expected to maybe get on the front foot this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, to be honest. I think that Cork will probably set up in a similar way. You might see maybe Luke Connolly or one more attacking player start to give a bit more punch up front, but I don't see Cork changing their tactics dramatically. I think given the short period of time they had, say, since the lockdowns were over and they were back in championship, there hasn't been a lot of time to prepare. So I'd imagine that things have been kept very simple for the last 4 or 5 weeks, and their game plan is their game plan, with maybe tweaks here and there. It's going to be an interesting game because they're both two big teams, and so the battle around the middle again is going to be huge.
Yeah, absolutely, George. And like, it is an area you know pretty well, George. I suppose we'll all be waiting, I suppose, till Sunday. I suppose the team has been announced tonight, but in terms of whether Stephen O'Brien and Jack Kennedy will be ready to go, like, they're two vitally important players like Stephen, just great physicality and great athleticism. Jack, I suppose in terms of his free taking and knowing from that left side of the field, he'd be a bad miss. He'd be a big miss if he wasn't. And then I suppose the big question will be, will Colin O'Riordan go straight into the starting team? What do you think might happen on Sunday in terms of what way they might go with selection?
Yeah, like I suppose it's really hard to know, Shane, because you just don't know what's going on inside the train. We don't know how fit Stephen or Jack are. I know David referred to them in the media during the week as being touch and go.
Is it worth a risk to push just going for it at this stage, or
it really all depends on how injured they are, or what sort of fitness they have. You know, you can't really make a call on them until you actually see up front for yourself, and I'm sure Dave and the lads are well positioned to do that. But it's going to be a big call if there is question marks over either of the two boys, because playing in a Munster final in that intensity is no place for somebody who's not going full tilt really. So it will have a big bearing on the outcome as to the condition of the two boys, and of course Colin then in the background as well. And I know teams will be named in advance and all that, but even when teams are named, whether it's this evening or tomorrow, both on the Cork and Tip sides, these days you can't read too much into it, because you just don't even know what way they're going to line out until the ball is thrown in on Sunday.
Do you think it might be too much of a gamble if Colin went straight into the starting team, or what do you think? Do you think if the management feel he's well able to contribute from the start, that, or do you think it would hold him back?
Well, no, I guess I suppose the boys are judging on what they see from Colin and training, but if Colin's skills are up to it, which I'm sure they are, I wouldn't see any problem with starting him. But at the same time, you look at Markeen for Cork against Kerry, and he really did struggle to get into the game, and you could see that maybe the ball skills weren't quite there. But in saying that, obviously he was the hero of the day to score the winning goal as well. But you really have to be in Dr. Morris Park on your Tuesday and Thursday night to make an educated call on whether any of the three boys should start or not,
Yeah, I suppose the last couple of years, I think Cork have tended to have the upper hand, Daniel, in these games, even though they've been pretty much tight. And I think they've been pretty tight. But I think that athleticism of the Rory Deans and Ian McGuire's and John O'Rourke's and Mark Collins is pulling, that has caused Tipperary an awful lot of problems. And we saw against Kerry, they're a terrific unit there in the middle of the field, even Killian O'Hanlon as well. Ronan McCarthy is building a very, very good unit around the middle, that from where the whole Cork team should develop over the next couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the middle eight now is full of power and pace and fellas that really want to work hard. And look, that's what you build. They're building their team around that kind of work ethic and that culture where you just do your job. But I suppose another thing is a facet of that is Cork against Kerry put every single kick out long. So it'll be interesting to see how Tip are going to counteract that. You'd imagine Cork won't go to short kick out for this game unless they're left to do so with a spare man. So the big battle for possession around the middle gives Cork that platform to attack, so I suppose the breaks are going to be huge, off kickouts especially. I think against, that's the one thing that probably I think Cork will need to improve on, is Cork are good at running the ball, but they'll have to use their full forward line more the next day. I think there was parts of the Kerry game the full forward line were left totally isolated and the ball didn't go in at all, and I'm not sure that'll work again the next day in kind of the do or die of a Munster Championship final. I think Tip will be ready for what Cork aim to bring from around the middle, and Cork will have to come up with something small but different. That's why I'd probably like to see Luke Hanley in from the start the next day.
Yeah, it promises to be a fascinating game. I suppose the clock is against us, but as long as we'll get a very, very good and entertaining Munster Senior Football Final on Sunday. Daniel Goulding and George Hannigan, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Thanks, Jeff.
As I said, that's about it for this week's show. As I say, it's a busy weekend for Tip FM. Just a reminder, both games live this weekend, Saturday 1:15, it's Tipperary against Galway in the LIT Gaelic Grounds, with Stephen Gleeson and James Woodlock in association with Mulcahy Car Sales, our crony Nina. And then on Sunday, the Munster Senior Football Final, live from Páirc Uí Chaoimh at 1:30, Tipperary against Cork in the company of Stephen Gleeson and Shane Stapleton. Coverage brought to you by Casey Tiles and Wooden Floors Business Park in Care. Don't forget tonight, 8:30, the Tipperary J Clubs draw from Thurles, and we and the Tipperary teams will also be announced. that's about it. As I said, thanks to my producer, Michael Brophy. I'll be back next Friday evening from 6 for another edition of Cross the Line. Carl Power will be here just after news at 7 with Shades of Green. And don't remind, and also there will be a special remembrance service from about 7:04, joint initiative between the Catholic Diocese of Killaloe and the Church of Ireland Diocese of Killaloe. That's about it. Bye for now.